He was certified as dead, wrapped up, and buried. Yet 2 days later, it was reported that his dead body had come back to life again. Well, I would like to see proof that Jesus died and then came right back to life 2 days later. And I need some junior detectives to help me with this. What I need is 6 junior detectives. Who would like to volunteer to help me find some evidence, to dig up some proof? Okay. Yeah, you ladies, if you would like to come up here, we have 4 junior detectives over there. We need at least 2 more. Hi there. Good morning. There we go. 6 junior detectives. Okay. What we want to do is we've got to prove to the world that Jesus came back to life. And 2,000 years ago, there's 4 senior detectives that did the work. And they wrote down all their evidence. And their evidence is found in 6 different cases out there. And what you've got to do is go to your relatives, to your friends, and see if they have any evidence from these 4 senior detectives. They might have it in your bulletin. And we want you to come back with 6 different kinds of evidence. So go to your relatives and ask them, show me evidence. Give me proof. Give me proof that Jesus came back to life. Oh, here's some proof. Ah, let's see what you got here. Oh, wow. An angel told 3 women that Jesus was no longer in the grave, but he'd come back to life. That's good proof. Luke did that. That's wonderful. You can take that, and for all your good detective work, you can have a crayon, and you can fill that out if you want. Okay. What do you have? Oh, my goodness. Look at this. There's 2 men that came to a tomb, and they looked inside, and there was some grave clothes, but there was no body in there. No, you just have this one. She brought 2. Let me see if anybody else has this one. Yeah. Nope. We'll keep this one. We'll give you a second crayon for this one. Let's see what else we've got here. Oh, good. This is the record of a man named John, and he found out that a woman named Mary Magdalene had actually seen Jesus in a brand new body, and she touched him and talked with him. That is excellent. You get a crayon for that good research. Oh, what do you have? Oh, I've seen these ones already. I've seen that one. Oh, here's something new, a new evidence. Jesus himself appeared to 2 women, and they fell before him and recognized that he had come back to life. They were so excited. That is wonderful. Okay, any more evidence? Anything else? Let's see. We got this one. Oh, anybody find that one? That evidence is still out there. Oh, he's got it. All right, more evidence. What is this? This is an angel telling 2 women that Jesus has come. That's all kinds of angels telling people that Jesus has come back to life. That's very good. Let's see. We got that one. That's the angel telling the women. And, oh, does anybody have this evidence? There's more evidence out there. Oh, here we go. This is from the detective Luke. And he found out that there were 2 men that he interviewed that had seen Jesus the 3rd day of his death resurrected, and he talked to them, and they saw that it was Jesus by his scars. Is that all the evidence? I think it is. You guys did great. Did everybody get a crayon? You can take these evidences back and fill them in. Nah. Everybody got a crayon?
I have two.
Good for you. You brought more than one thing, so that's good. All right, good. Thank you. Thank you very much, Junior Detectives. That's great. What we're going to do now is ask Hope to move over a little bit, or just move, everybody move over. It's hard for me to be looking at a post. I feel like I've got to talk to a post this whole time. So if you guys could all move over one, that would be really helpful to me. Because I'm trying to think, what is that post thinking? Is the post getting what I say? Do I need to make it clearer, you know? So I actually do look at people when I'm talking sometimes. What we're going to do this morning is take all six of these evidences from these four detectives from the first century, and we're going to weave them all together in one story. And in that story, it's going to be in the actual sequence of events that happened on that Easter Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection. We do that at Christmas time. At Christmas time, we take a piece from Luke's gospel where we find that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to have a child. And then we go back and look at Mark's gospel where the Gabriel came to Joseph and told her that the child, though it wasn't his, it was from God. And then we go back to Luke's gospel with the shepherds, and we go back to Matthew's gospel with the wise men. This morning, what we're going to attempt to do is go to all four witnesses, all four gospels that tell about the things that happened on the day that Jesus resurrected, and weave them all together in harmony to where they're all one storyline. So what I'm going to read is from Scripture. It's the New English Translation, the NET, and it's somewhat a work compiled by Jerry Payton that I have tweaked a little bit. But I'd just like to read this through, and we'll have some pictures to go with it as we look at the order of appearances of Jesus to people on the day he rose again. This is so important. Two reasons. One, Jesus coming back to life affirms the truth that Jesus' payment for man's sin was accepted by God. And if you're a believer in Jesus, the resurrection guarantees you're forgiven of your sin. The second important reason that we have the resurrection is it guarantees for believers that these decaying bodies are one day going to be changed to be like Jesus' resurrected body. And that one day we will be with Jesus in his glorified body, with our glorified bodies, with other believers in their glorified bodies. What a reunion that will be. But our resurrection is guaranteed because Jesus rose again. We have the assurance of forgiveness and the hope of resurrection because Jesus himself rose again. So I'm going to read through this story from this harmony of the New English Translation. And for you children, feel free to color, but if you could just be quiet for about 15 minutes, no whispering, so that we can hear the story, and feel free to look at the pictures as they come up. In fact, I'll even dim this a little bit so you can all see the picture a little bit better. While it was still dark, early in the morning, the first day of the week, at sunrise, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to look at the tomb, taking the aromatic spices they had prepared for his interment. They had been asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Suddenly, there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were shaken and became like dead men because they were so afraid of him. The women came to the tomb, and looking up, saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Mary Magdalene went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Meanwhile, the other women were perplexed about this. Suddenly, two men stood before them in dazzling attire. One, a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. The women were terribly frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. But why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again." Then the woman remembered Jesus' words. The angel said to the women, "Go quickly and tell the disciples, even Peter, he has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you. Listen, I have told you." So Mary Magdalene, she returned and stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white standing where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they've put him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Because she thought he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus replied, "Do not touch me, for I have yet ascended to my Father, to my God, and to your God." Mary Magdalene then came and she told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what Jesus had said to her. The other women left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, for terror and bewilderment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. But Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." They came to him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." When they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like pure nonsense to the apostles. They did not believe them. But Peter and the other disciple, John, set out to go to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the strips of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who had been following him, arrived and went right into the tomb. He saw only the strips of linen cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the strips of linen cloth, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, came in, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. So the disciples went back to their homes, wondering what had happened. Now, that very day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and debating these things, Jesus himself approached and began to accompany them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then Jesus said to them, "What are these matters you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" He said to them, "Oh, what things?" "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "A man who was powerful in deeds and words, proved to be a prophet before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be condemned to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Not only this, but it is now the third day since these things have happened. Furthermore, some women of our group amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and said that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." So Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, how slow of heart to believe all the things the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things, to be crucified, and to rise on the third day? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures." So they approached the village where they were going. He acted as though he wanted to go further, but they urged him, "Stay with us, because it's getting late toward evening and the day is almost done." So he went in to stay with them. When Jesus had taken his place at the table, he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. At this point, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Wow, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" So they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. They found the 11 and those with them who had gathered together and locked the doors of the place because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They said, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." Then They told what had happened on the road and how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread with them. While they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and afraid. They were terrified, thinking they'd seen a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones like you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands, his feet, and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they had seen the Lord. And while they could not yet believe it because they were amazed, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. But these are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the believing, you may have life in his name. There are two amazing things that we have today, because indeed Jesus did come back to life. One is that if you're a believer in Jesus, you know that your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. The last verse in Romans chapter 4 says this: "He was raised up to prove our justification." He was raised for our justification. He was raised to show that believers in Jesus are declared innocent before God. What a wonderful thing that is to know when we slip and we sin, to know that Jesus paid for that sin. And if we believe it, we're forgiven. Our slate is clean. Believe in Jesus. The other amazing thing is that we have the guarantee that when we die, we're going to be with Jesus. And one day when he comes back, it's the resurrection, our decayed old bodies are going to be changed into perfect, eternal, incorruptible, glorified bodies, just like Jesus' resurrected body, and we're going to be with him. In 1st, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring back with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." Told some of you this story before, but when Sadie's brother died and Sadie was hospitalized and Becky was in critical care, I got thinking, why be a Christian? Maybe there's some other religion that would work out better than this situation. So I really got looking at some other options. And everyone, I said, I don't want to go there. I mean, I thought about being a Hindu. And then I realized that the best hope I could have for my son Matthew, who had died, was that he might come back as a cow or something. That was not comforting to a grieving father. And so as I was wrestling through all these things, I said, okay, then why be a Christian? And I can still remember God putting in my heart and mind the truth that what makes Christianity different than anything else is that we have one who died for our sin and who came back to life. And that's an historical, accurate fact. Jesus lives. At that moment, tears came to my eyes as I realized because Matthew believed in Jesus, his sins were forgiven. He's in heaven. And one day I will see him again and we'll both have resurrected bodies. And let me tell you, I was so pumped up in thinking through that a nurse saw me and said, "Are you Richard Yates?" And I said, "Yes. Are you the one whose son just died and whose daughter is here and whose wife is here?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she says, "I don't believe it. How do you do it?" It's because we have the hope of resurrection. Because Jesus Christ came back from the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. May you take that thought with you today.